County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why we've launched a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month of free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka The Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left for today's special episode of TCCP, first and foremost, is the head of academy at Leicestershire County Cricket Club, Mr. Alistair Maiden. So, Alistair, first things first, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today, mate. It's an absolute pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. I have to ask, mate, how's your day been so far?
Busy, actually. So I finished here, finished the academy session at 10 o'clock last night, locked up. Got away about 20 past 10, drove home, got home about 11, and I was back in again about 10 past 9 this morning. So, it's been a busy couple of days, really.
Sounds like it. Definitely a bit more busy than mine, to be honest. I've just been up this morning watching the Big Bash final, so I can't relate in terms of busyness. But no, glad to hear that you're doing well, mate. That is absolutely fantastic. And also joining us for today's, let's be honest, very Leicestershire-themed episode of the County Cricket Podcast, at the bottom of my screen, which is something I don't say very often, but we have got Mark Hudson, the Cricket Development Officer for Women's and Girls Cricket at Leicestershire County Cricket Club. So, Mark, again, I'll ask you the exact same question. How's your day been so far, mate?
Well, like Ali, another late night last night. I attended the Leicestershire Rugby League AGM, so got home about 9:30. Was in this morning. Sean Jarvis, our CEO, did a bit of a staff meeting just to take us through how the business is running. So yeah, but luckily for me though, he had some good donuts.
Always a bonus when there's some good food on offer. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And in terms of the overall context of today's podcast, just for the listeners out there, today I'm going to be chatting to these two gents, mostly about the academy and pathway system at Leicestershire County Cricket Club. So in terms of the way in which the academy setup works, in terms of the pathway schemes and the different things and elements that Leicestershire provide their young up-and-coming players. But before we get into all of that good stuff, gents, I just want to start really at the origin of your respective cricketing journeys. You know, how did you get into the game in the first place? Alistair, I'll ask you that question first. What was it about cricket that drew you in the first place?
How long have you got, Aaron? This could take a while. If you're going back to the start, my dad was a keen cricket fan. Didn't play, but he was a very, very keen cricket fan. And I think he got me playing in the back garden, as most people did, you know, and taught me some. But basically, he taught me how to defend, which I never developed any further in my game other than that, pretty much. So he taught me how to do that. We had a very small garden, so it was very apt that I could defend and not attack. And then he took me to a local, would have been a holiday, you know, the equivalent of what other people do now, holiday camp thing, at a leisure centre, at Wombourne Leisure Centre. And it was a cricket summer camp. And the person running the summer camp was somebody involved in Staffordshire County at the time. And he just directed me towards a club. I was about 7 and he directed me to a club. And I played, you know, in the Swindon Creek Club under 13s as a 7-year-old. So that's sort of how it started, really, and then progressed from there.
Fair play. It's a nice journey into the game. So from a very, very young age, cricket has always been the one sport, as it should be. Best sport on the planet.
Well, apart from being an avid Wolverhampton Wanderers fan, I have to throw that into the mix as well.
I thought that might come out in today's podcast. I was trying to avoid it, given the news surrounding the club at the moment with Adama Traore. We're not going to get into that debate. But no, fair enough, Alistair, fair enough. It was a nice journey, this game of cricket. Whether or not people will agree with your choice of football club, that's up for debate. But it's a very, very nice way to get into the sport, in my opinion. And Mark, what about yourself? what was it about cricket that drew you in the first place?
I always say growing up in the village that I grew up, which is a steeped in cricket tradition, you didn't really have a choice. So, you know, as soon as you could walk, you had to get out of cricket club and you had to play cricket. My grandfather played, my dad played, my uncle or my mum's brother, he played. And the cricket field was where we always migrated to. You know, we'd get out and watch the guys play on a Sunday afternoon, and you know there was always some teas on offer and stuff like that. So yeah, it was my dad was a massive influence on my cricket career. You know, we weren't particularly well off when I was growing up, so he actually made me my first bat out of a piece of plywood and put some insulation tape to stop me getting splinters. And a bit like Alice, small garden, that's how we learned to play, and make sure you keep the ball on the ground so you don't keep hitting it into the neighbours. But we was also very fortunate living in a sleepy little village. We actually, across the road from my house, there was a stone wall and a tree the opposite side of the road. So it naturally became a cricket wicket. And I remember as kids, we painted wickets on this stone wall. We probably get an Asbo nowadays. And we played across the road. Everybody joined in. There'd be tens of kids there playing cricket.
Honestly, Mark, that is a lovely path into the game. So very much family-orientated, community-orientated, as well in terms of those initial steps into the game. And I can relate in terms of that back garden cricket. My goodness, at my grandparents' house in Birmingham, two neighbours, one of which had a low fence, no pets at all. Other one, high fence, they had a dog, and the dog would never let the tennis balls back. So we always tried to hit it onto the onside as opposed to the off. You won't see me providing many cover drives in backyard cricket, but honestly, that just seems to be a shared experience, especially in city cricket, you know, playing in the back garden, utilising that defensive, trying not to go too expansive, otherwise you don't get your ball back. It's always a very, very nice way to get into the game. And Mark, I'll start with you this time, because from those tentative years, those formative steps in the game of cricket, what was it about academy cricket that drew you into that particular facet of the game? What was it about that industry that really kind of, you know, was appealing to you?
I mean, obviously with the women's and girls stuff, my daughter got picked up by Dits Patel here I brought her and my son down, who's 3.5 years younger than she is. She's 18 now. And we brought her down for Dits running like a bit of a masterclass or, you know, a cricket session that you'd come along. And he just said after the session, she ought to be able to go in that pathway, the under-13s. And from then on, I'd sort of been around this pathway as a dad. And then sort of along the way, I took her, got a bit more involved and helped Heather Beattie out, who's on maternity leave at the moment, does the same role as what I do. And she sort of said, do you fancy like managing one of the teams? And it just morphed. And then in the end, I saw a job come up managing women's and girls cricket clubs at Leicestershire. And I thought, you know what? I quite fancy working in cricket. I wanted a bit of a career change anyway. So, yeah, and I sort of ended up where we are. And, you know, I bought trying to bring a sort of a business approach to the process. Not, you know, I don't tend to sort of get really hands-on. I leave that to the coaches. Ali probably has a slightly different role to me in that way. Being you know, former England assistant head coach, he'll be more involved than I will. And yeah, and here we are today, sort of trying to sort of improve the offering that we offer women and girls around the county of Leicestershire and Rutland.
Absolutely. And that's the important thing, isn't it? It's about putting these people on the right path, you know, the next steps of their journey. It's so, so important to set up the future cricketers of tomorrow on that right direction. So I respect that, Mark. I really do. And it's a nice way to get into the industry as well, I must admit. And Alistair, what about yourself? You know, what was it about academy cricket in particular that was, you know, appealing to you per se?
Well, I mean, ever since I started coaching, I started it in development. So I started coaching in schools and clubs. And so my sort of coaching journey is grounded in that sort of area. And so, you know, as Mark said, I worked for 4 years in performance, the performance area of coaching. And even then, I still feel like I was a developmental coach rather more than a performance coach, if you can separate the two. So I think development and developing players has always been it had a deep-seated root in my coaching. So going back into men's cricket at academy level really appealed, because it's where you can shape players' futures and really have an impact. And, when you're in the performance area, there's lots of time during the season where, you're managing and trying to make sure players are performing well, and you're not damaging confidence, and you're trying to basically keep people afloat a lot of the time. Whereas in development sport, every game, for me, every game that they play is a chance to learn, is a chance to develop, a chance to grow, a chance to get better. So I love it. I love it from that angle, really. And I think we have a huge impact on the players that we've got because of their age and the stage that they're at in their careers. So it's fascinating. Fascinating time in people's lives.
It most certainly is. And before we get on to the main course of today's podcast, talking of development and future superstars, for those who don't know, the 2022 Under-19 Cricket World Cup is taking place as we speak in the Caribbean. And there's one player in particular from Leicestershire who, to be honest, ever since I've seen him, has impressed me so, so much. And it is, of course, Riyan Ahmed. Alistair, how impressive is he, you know, in terms of as a prospect for the Leicestershire fans out there? How exciting of a star is Riyan Ahmed?
Well, he's a very exciting cricketer, certainly, and always has been. So I think the thing that makes everyone so impressed by him is the way he plays the game. It's his character. You know, he plays the games with so much energy, determination and fight that, you know, he competes hugely. So the thing that people are most impressed by is his character, really, both with bat and ball. And that's since he's been a young lad, really. I mean, he joined us fairly late, really. He came across from Notts to us at about the age of 14, 15. And at that stage, you know, like I said, the things that came across was his energy and his enthusiasm. And he's immensely skillful because he loves the game so much. He practices non-stop. He's got a bat in his hand. He's always bowling. And actually sometimes trying to stop him doing those things and trying to get him to have a normal life away from the game is quite tricky. But he's great. He's fantastic. The only thing I'd say with Riyan is he's still got a lot of work to do, and he knows that himself. And his biggest asset is his desire to keep getting better. So he's got a huge ceiling. You never know where that ceiling is going to take people, don't you? So, you know, 19s to playing for England or even playing regularly and having a first-class career. You know, there's lots of things to do and that can happen. So he's got a lot of work to do, but he's got a bright future ahead of him if he does what he's doing currently, which is enjoying the game and making the most of his talent.
He most certainly has. Honestly, I watched him live at Edgbaston this summer against my county of Warwickshire. So impressive. And the one thing that really stands out to me with Riyan Ahmed's game is the googly. It's so potent at such a young age. He's 17 years old, and yet it comes out so beautifully. He gets good flight, good drift on it. I'm really excited to see how his career pans out. And especially for the Leicestershire fans, when you think you've already got Callum Parkinson, you know, if you just add a leg spinner into the mix, geez, that is a very, very potent spin duo.
Well, you're also got to remember, and this is important to us as a club, he's batting's high quality as well. You know, I would argue he's batting far too low in that England team because I think he's better than that. So his bat is high quality, and he's a jet fielder as well. So, you know, when you're talking about a guy who can influence the game in three areas, he was captain for me under 18s cricket. I had him captain as a 15-year-old because of his cricket knowledge. So you obviously you're always looking at their main skill, but if you add that as a package, there's a lot of things that he's got in his favour as a cricketer. So yeah, he's wonderful, really. Such a great lad, such a great kid, full of fun, full of energy, full of life, and that's why I do what I do, because he's so inspiring, really, to be part of his journey, and he's quality. So I just wish him all the best and want him to keep going.
As do we here at the County Cricket Podcast. Honestly, same goes to all of those under-19 lads as well. I mean, they've been so impressive in the semi-finals. They're playing against Afghanistan. wishing the boys all the very best of luck heading into the conclusion of that tournament. And in fact, I'm glad you mentioned that, Alistair, because I've got quite a pertinent question for the two of you. It might be a little bit profound, it might not be. But in terms of the, you know, the academy industry as a whole, what is the most rewarding aspects of the job? I mean, you've just mentioned it quite nicely there, Alistair, in terms of, you know, developing the superstars of tomorrow. But Mark, in your opinion, what is the most rewarding aspect of your job? You know, when you come back from a day at the club, right, what is the one thing that keeps you going in this job?
I think it's more the fact, it sounds really odd when I'm going to say this, but it is a key thing to the game, is actually seeing the girls enjoying themselves playing cricket. Because, you know, we were slightly different because, you know, the professional part doesn't quite reach down towards as it does with the boys stuff and the men's stuff. But, you know, these are amateur players who we ask a lot of, and we ask them to perform a lot, you know, and develop. But the way that, you know, our women's and under-18s head coach, Stephen Franklin, Frankie as he's known here, it's like you can't help but enjoy his sessions. He makes it good fun. He's always got a smile on his face, and, you know, but that's the key thing for me, to see them enjoying themselves and obviously develop as cricketers as well.
I like that answer, Mark, because it's so important, isn't it? You know, it's that enjoyment, the excitement, the love of the game. You have to nurture that at that development level. So that's a really nice answer. I must admit, that's very, very nice indeed. And Alistair, for you, aside from, you know, developing the next Rian Ahmeds, right, because obviously he's a star in the making. What else about the role as academy coach, the head of academy at Leicestershire, is so rewarding to you personally?
Well, we've got a great team, coaches. So working with the staff, trying to develop the way we coach and the way we work. I've got three full-time coaches, Paul Johnson, who obviously used to play at Notts captain, who's an, you know, experienced coach, lots of knowledge. He's fantastic. Jigga Naik, who's obviously ex-Leicester player, who's a brilliant, very, very bright prospect as a coach. And then a lad called Dave Whitmore, who's a lad who plays a lot of local league cricket, and again is an exciting prospect as a coach. So I think that's important to me, is actually trying to help those guys develop and working with those as a team. So, you know, we feel very much part of a team working towards a goal of trying to get players out here, more players out here for Leicester, and also to raise the standard of club cricket around the county and all that sort of stuff, to really raise the levels of cricket that are going on around us that we can have an impact on. So that's one of the bits. My favourite part of the job, ultimately, is when you get to the summer and all the admin disappears, which is the bane of my life. But the emails quiet them down, and what happens generally is, even if the emails do still keep coming in, I'm at a cricket ground, and I'm with the players, and we've done a warm up, and we're talking to them about to play the game, and we're doing laps around the boundary with them, talking to them about their cricket and what things they need to develop, and no one can get you. You are fully immersed in that player's development and the team's journey. And then that's the bit I love. I love, you know, driving down. We use a lot Uppingham School a lot. And I love driving down to Uppingham in the morning. Sun's out. A few phone calls maybe on the way. Cup of coffee. Get to the ground. And then you're there all day. And you drive home at the end of the day. And the sun's still out at night. And you feel like you've had a great day where you've not been sat at a desk with people badgering you on emails. And it's fantastic.
Can I just say, for the Leicestershire fans out there, isn't it so refreshing to hear two really passionate people when it comes to the game of cricket? Honestly, gents, it's infectious. I absolutely adore your love for the game. It's put a massive grin on my face, as you can see on the screen. It is a great job, though, isn't it? And again, with the academy, I suppose for people like myself who love under-19s cricket, it's the next steps to creating the stars of tomorrow. You know, the greatest players on the planet, the Virat Kohlis, the Steve Smiths, the Joe Roots, the Kane Williamsons, all of them came through respective talent pathways. They've all gone through this journey, and to see where they've come from those tentative years, it's so, so intriguing. It's so engrossing. It's fascinating.
I think the only other thing I would throw in there, though, Aaron, and that is great. I think your Virat Kohlis, your Rahan Ahmeds, a lot of the time, those guys and girls, the best girls, they're always going to get through. You know, they they make their own path and they make their own journey. What I find wonderful is when you see a lad, you know, we go and play local clubs quite a bit to try and, you know, keep in contact with the teams, but also to challenge our lads against men, again, in an adult cricket, senior cricket. And one of the inspiring things for me is when you see one of the lads that you've had in your pathway who's now playing club cricket, doing really well, maybe captain of his club. He's got kids, he's got a family, but he loves the game, you know, entrenched in his club. To me, that I get as much satisfaction out of that as I do out of someone going on and playing first team cricket for Leicestershire, because, you know, our responsibility is towards the game as much as it is towards the players at the club. And it's great. You see a lad and he remembers the great times he had when we took him down to a festival somewhere. And, you know, it's just such a great experience for all the kids involved in it. And I think I personally want to foster that and keep that going as long as we can without it feeling like a over elitist profession at a very young age. I want it to be a wonderful experience for the kids, and that's as much what gets me out of bed as Rahan going and playing for the first team.
I can echo that, Ali. Totally get it. It's, you know, our job as custodians of the game is to give them a lifelong love of the game and help them be the best player they can be. Some will go on and play professional, some will go on and play a decent level of club cricket, as long as they're enjoying the game. That's all that matters to us.
Fair point. Very, very fair point. Yeah. As you've said, right, they're custodians of the game, you know, ensuring that they stay in the game. It is a wonderful game as well. Best sport on the planet, in my incredibly unbiased opinion.
Also, just want to sort of echo from our point of view, Ali's point about the coaches that he's got in his team. You know, at the moment we don't have necessarily full-time coaches within the women's and girls pathway. But, you know, let's sure we use this hashtag Academy of Cricket. And that's not just about the players. I'm helping coaches develop their coaching careers through the women's and girls pathway. We're supporting a number of female coaches who perhaps are playing in our squad, playing for our women, who are coming down to help me coach under 13s, 15s, 11s. I think that's what I love working for Leicestershire County Cricket. It doesn't feel like work to me, if I'm honest. It feels like I'm getting paid to do a hobby. I think some days somebody's going to tap me on the shoulder and realise I've been a fraud for all these years. But, you know, they catch up with me. But no, it's a great place to work, and it is a good place. It is, you know, Sean, the CEO, drives this hashtag Academy of Cricket. But it, you know, it does feel like that here. We're developing not just players, but our staff. And everybody's around the game, you know. And also, it's great to see that Riyadh came over from Notts, because normally we're losing players the other way, but I always say we're changing that at Leicestershire at the moment.
We'll have to wait and see. Time will tell, won't it, Mark, in that regard? Because I just think of a couple of Leicestershire's former academy graduates, Mr. Stuart Broad, Harry Gurney, both went on to play for Notts and subsequently England. So we'll have to wait and see if that's, you know, that pattern does reverse in the next few years. I know the Leicestershire fans certainly hope it will. But honestly, yeah, it is a very, very rewarding career then, from what you two have just said. And again, I love the energy surrounding Leicestershire at the moment. In fact, I think the club put up some aims, objectives, I think they put up on social media. Again, Leicestershire fans, you can go find that on Leicestershire's website. And there is just this renewed sense of optimism and hope around the club. It's a sense of optimism that, to be honest, was missing for a number of years in the 2010s. And all of a sudden, it's like this club is going somewhere. There's a clear direction at both the first team level, academy level, with the women's and girls section as well. It's really exciting times at Grace Road, aren't they?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Looking forward to new offices. Yeah, looking forward to them. No, but definitely it is. I mean, it does. Ali will tell you, we look across, you know, although it feels very quiet because we're in the closed season, you can feel it's getting busy. You know, there's lots of activities going on behind the scenes. You know, not just in a cricket sense, but the commercial team, the marketing team, catering team, they're all getting themselves geared up for what we hope is going to be a really good season for the club.
Well, fingers crossed it is. Ali, would you back up those words? Would you echo that sentiment? I'm guessing you would.
Yeah. No, of course I would. I think I think we had a lot of work to do. I think what you said is absolutely right. I think the club had a lot of work and still has a lot of work to do. But what we have got going is we've got real clarity on where we want to be. We're not trying to get too far ahead of ourselves as well. So I think there's some perspective involved. So we know what we're trying to do, and developing players is absolutely at the centre of all of that. You know, so I know you said about Stuart and Harry, but you know, that is fine. You know, in lots of ways, and I know Leicester members, you know, would often not echo this, but for us, they're a success of the club, and that's important. You know, if players, we develop them, and then they choose to go on to a club for whatever reasons, and then end up playing for England, we're still part of that journey from our point of view. So I think that's really important, us developing our own players and from the academy is absolutely at the centre of it. And you have to remember, you know, Stuart and Harry, particularly Stuart, you know, we won trophies with him playing for us. So we also got a bit out of him as well, you know, in terms of what he gave back to the club. So although now he's a Notts player, you know, before he went to Notts, we got good value out of him.
Fair enough. I always say the same thing about Moeen Ali, you know, and people always say, always made at Worcester. He came through the Warwickshire Academy. For those who don't know, same with Tom Banton. I think we let him go at the age of 15 or 16, but I still count him. To be honest, he played for Bark Green Cricket Club, Warwickshire boy, as far as I'm concerned. But on the flip side of that, I have to ask you both, because so far we've talked about the rewarding aspects, you know, the nicer areas of the job. But like with anything in life, there's positives, negatives, great moments, tough moments. In terms of academy cricket, Alistair, I'll start with you first as the head of academy at Leicestershire. What is the toughest aspect of your role at the club?
It's a good question. Well, I've already hinted at it a little bit. Is the thing that I find toughest, and this wouldn't be the same for everyone, is, you know, you've got limited resources, really, although we're much better off than we were 3 or 4 years ago, but you've got limited resources. And for someone like myself who's passionate about coaching and developing players, you know, I'm also in charge of managing the budget and in charge of managing lots of staff and there's lots of admin involved, and that can be really challenging, especially with the time, you know, like we said last night, the time commitments involved with the job, you know. So you know, I'm here till 11 o'clock last night, and then I'm back in at 9 o'clock to do emails and all that sort of stuff. So it's such a wide ranging job. It has its positives because that keeps you on your toes and it keeps you honest, but it also has its issues because I just want to, you know, I want to spend my time planning players' programs and thinking about what sessions we're going to do coming up. And we've got a tour coming to Sri Lanka in a couple of weeks. So, you know, thinking about what we're going to do on that tour and, you know, and really, and interacting with the players and communicating with them and thinking about ways to develop them, drills or activities for them to do. And of course, that gets pulled because I'm sat to writing emails until 10 minutes before the session starts. So that's my biggest challenge, is managing the variety of admin with the coaching element to it. But I can't give the coaching element up because that's what I love so much, and that's what I'm passionate, and that's what I'm good at, far more than I am good at admin and budgets and all that sort of jazz. So I'll fight to keep the coaching as long as I can, really, so I don't sit behind a desk all day.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in the profession very much would echo that sentiment as well. I'm interested there, Alistair, though, just another aspect of the job, I suppose, would be for those players who maybe do have those high expectations, you know, the ones who want to play first-class cricket or the international stage beyond that. What about the players who don't make it? Is that a really tough aspect of the job as well? Or
Yeah, very much so. I mean, managing expectations of players and parents is arguably the biggest challenge. And that then adds on to the admin and all that type of stuff that comes with it. But, you know, we had observation days just after Christmas. And I said to a couple of groups, you know, if we get one player through from the academy to play as a professional each year, we're doing blooming brilliantly. You know, so Rohan, if we got through last year, if we get another one through this year, we're doing outstandingly well. And yet last year we had 200 kids on our pathway. So that one out of 200 each year is, and I think that what's changed over the last so 10 years ago, I was at Durham working in the academy pathway. And what was different then, I think, in my perception, and this is only my perception, so forgive me if it's not accurate, was that county cricket then, and being part of county cricket, was such a great opportunity and experience for people. And the actual outcome at the end of it, what people ended up doing, was less of a, it was more, people did see it as a, you know, oh, well, let's just see what happens. Hopefully, you never know, but it's great to be part of, great friendships. And I think now, for whatever reason, whether it's football academies or whatever it is, and the professionalism of stuff, like I said to you before, there's a lot more expectation that if I go through this program, I'm at the end of it, I'm going to be that. So I have to work very hard and try to try and make sure that people understand that we're trying to develop cricketers to play at Kibworth Cricket Club to win the Premier League, you know, or to go on to have a career like I have in coaching or whatever it is within the game, and try not to focus on the outcome. But it's very, very difficult because everybody wants their son to be A, the next Joe Root, and B, they also, you know, parents, I've got two kids, and you can't help but see their positives and you know, be blinded by some of the challenges. So every parent thinks their kids probably is the next Joe Root, and that's hard work. It's challenging.
I can imagine it is. Fortunately for my parents, I made it quite easy. I had a batting average of 2 at school cricket, so they never had to worry about that. But no, I completely understand that. When you put it like that, 1 in 200, it's tiny, and that's just for one club. You know, times that by 18, and I imagine that some will have even more than that. I mean, look at a club like Surrey. I imagine they'd have even more kids trying to go through and become a Brown Caps player at the end of it. It's a cutthroat environment, isn't it?
I mean, that 200, you know, within their last year, you've only got 40 kids probably under 18 or so. But it is a big system with very limited output at the end of it. Yes, I mean, what do you think, Mark?
Yeah, it is. I mean, like I said, we're getting record numbers of girls coming through. We've got just over 30 in our under-18s. When we come to select the summer squad in March, we're looking at about 16 to 18. There's already a few of those who are going to be disappointed. I always think that's what elite cricket, whatever you want to call it, development cricket, it's kind of the way it is. It's like being in business. Not everybody gets the promotion. If you work really hard, what you hope one day your hard work will get recognised and rewarded. And some will go on to be CEOs, and some will go on to sort of have middle management jobs in the corporate world. So, yeah, as long as we're fair to each player, I think everybody probably understands that we have to make tough decisions, Ali.
And I think the game is so rewarding it is a rewarding game to be part of at whatever level you end up. And I think that's the message we have to try and get through to everybody out there, is that if you end up playing club cricket, you'll have a great life. It's almost deemed like there's a them and then the rest of us sort of make do. Well, blimey heck, you could end up having a far greater experience at the game if you play club cricket or become a coach or an umpire or whatever than being a professional athlete. So I think the message has to be that the professional part of it is just another aspect of it. We want to develop people to be involved in the game and to love the game.
Yeah, and like we're doing, we're giving them the opportunity to be the best player they could be. And like I say, some will go on to play for England, some will, go to club cricket. You know, I played club cricket all my life. I had a year or so here as a youngster. Didn't cut the mustard. But, hey, they didn't stop me enjoying cricket all my life. You know, I had a great sort of amateur career, career, if that's what we could call it. But
Stint in club cricket, I think most village cricketers would call it. But no, that's very, very positive to hear, gents. And I completely echo those words. I love club cricket. You know, that's always been my escape. You know, I've never really taken cricket too seriously from a playing perspective. When it comes to the media side, that's completely different. You know, you can't shut me up when it comes to talking about the game. That's something I do want to take a bit more seriously. But when it comes to cricket, it's just a fun sport. It's a very social sport as well. And you make incredible memories, whether that is at a professional level, not that I'll ever know that. But even if that's at a club level, it's about the experience. It's about making those relationships, those friendships along the way. And again, that is why cricket is such a special sport. I've also played football to a relatively decent level, almost got scouted. But when I look at the camaraderie of cricket, in particular between your team and the opposition, there's so much more. There's a lot less, you know, negativity, arguing, in some cases, physical altercations when it comes to the game of cricket. I think that's why it's such a special sport to me personally, and one which no matter what level you're at, you can get great enjoyment out of it. So again, even for those prospects who don't quite make it, I would agree with that. Just stay in the game. You know, there's so many positives to be had when it comes to this incredible sport. And talking of, outside of the sport, actually, talking outside of the sport, I should say, in terms of the academy at Leicestershire, what other services do you provide for these players? Aside from the cricket, aside from the coaching, aside from the matches, what other things do you give these players in order to put them on the right path, not just in cricket, but in wider life as well?
Aaron, do you want to know about their scholarship players, so the lads like Rahan,
absolutely.
Or do you want to know about the pathway? Okay. So again, we've got Chris could take all week. So the first thing when they sign on as a scholarship player, the first thing that they do is we sign them on to the private healthcare. So they're covered from a physical perspective. You know, if they have a career-threatening injury, they're covered, which is a fantastic perk, really. It's about £900 a player, I think, from the club's perspective. But it's a fantastic perk. So that's the first thing, is that's one thing they get. And obviously all the screening, heart screening, various things that they have to do as well, which again, you know, is a massive asset, especially when you think and consider the cases we've had of sports people who've had serious conditions and serious things happen to them. So they get all of that sort of stuff. They get like a support from a psychology perspective. So that would be around one-to-one support, seminars, parent workshops we do, all that sort of stuff. So from sports psychs, they're covered there. The ECB and the PCA provide performance lifestyle support. So they all do, again, seminars from the PCA on gambling, addiction, anti-corruption, various things, and also life after cricket. So they help them with that sort of stuff. Plus, they do one-to-one sessions with all the players around that as well. So they're supported as a academy player for their next step. What else do we do? We've signed up. We've got a sponsor. One of the club sponsors, the Melton Building Society. And one of the when we spoke to them quite early on, what the Melton do for a lot of schools around this area is they've got a financial education organisation that they partnered with. And they go around schools delivering education around finance and around that type of stuff, so that, you know, life skills. So we spoke to the Melton and they come in and they've delivered some stuff around finance and managing finances, which is quite important, you know, for a young lad who's about to maybe get his first paychecks for the first time, you know, understanding tax and that type of stuff. So we do that. We've got an education officer, which is a volunteer role. So that person, in our instance, Tracy, works at a local private school, but she works in the careers department. So she volunteers with us. So if anybody, she doesn't come in and get involved in sessions as yet, or hasn't done, but there is an ambition to do that. But what she is she's a support there. If people need any advice around education, further education, she can help them and give them that sort of advice. So there's quite a lot, really, of things that they get around stuff. They are very well catered for, I would say, in areas around their cricket. We obviously then, you know, think about, we're going on tour with them to Sri Lanka. We're trying to take them to broaden their horizons around different cultures and that type of stuff, which I believe is really important as well. It's a broad, wide-ranging, fantastic opportunity, really, for them, I believe.
Most definitely is. And judging by that list, you do get a very, very extensive amount of, you know, of perks when it comes to that academy scholarship program. And Mark, just in terms of your role and in terms of the women's and girls side of the club, does that differ in any way, or is there anything else?
Yeah, unfortunately, we get about 10% of of Ali's budget, you know, not from his budget, but separately from the ECB. So we are, I would say, extremely limited on resource. The Melt and Build Society also have extended their sponsorship to the women and girls. So that's helped a little bit. We right now at county level, we are still amateur. Hopefully that will change in the future. You know, how the ECB wants to take county cricket, women's county cricket forward as we speak. But we are working on it. Me and Ali are talking. I'm getting great support from the club itself. You know, Ali's strength and conditioning coach has been supporting us. So we are getting better, but you know, I'm not going to lie. We have a great deal of work to do around women's and girls cricket. I think the whole game does, not just this club. I think this club we're doing very well. You know, I speak to my counterparts in the other neighbouring counties. You know what we've offered, for example, the longest winter program I think we've ever offered women's and girls. We started last November. You know, I think historically we haven't normally started till after Christmas. So we are continuing to work on ways to get the best out of our small budget. So, you know, it's hard work, but like I say, hopefully I've brought my business experience towards that, but you know, helping with that budget and making it straight.
I think, Aaron, one thing, sorry, Mark, I was going to say, I know this is in support of Mark, really. I think one thing people probably aren't aware of, Aaron, and there's been a lot of talk about cost of pathways and stuff over the last few weeks and the ECB support. And I think, you know, people may not realise that a few years ago, so beginning of 2020, when I joined Leicester, the ECB basically increased their funding towards county pathways because of the 100 and the money that was going to be coming from the 100. So the ECB put into county academy pathways, put in £180,000 a year into each academy age group boys pathway that then the club are expected to match, not match, but expect to put 70,000 in. So what you've got is a pot of money which is ring fenced at £250,000 to spend on a boys pathway, which is was a significant increase from where we were. You know, my predecessor was scratching around trying to cover his costs and support the pathway. We've now got that system where basically each year we've got that budget to spend exclusively on the pathway. And that's incredible, really. But it doesn't all, you know, if you think about then the costs of staffing, the costs of hall hire and all those types of things, it's amazing how quickly that disappears. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're very, very lucky at counties now. And then also with that money became the proviso that all academy scholars, you know, the players we're talking about, get everything that they get for free and get nothing. So if you're signed on as a county, now that's so we have to do those things. You know, the things that I told you is not because Leicester, you know, I'm not saying we're doing everything that other people, we do the same as every other county's doing, but that's what the ECB have invested into it to try and make that program run like that. We're very lucky, and that's only been the last 2 years. It wasn't like that before. It wasn't like that in 2020 in the boys' pathway. Nowhere near.
Well, thank you for telling us that, Alistair. That's a very, very interesting stat, actually, to be honest. And Mark, I have to ask, did you get any of that money? Because I think it's been pretty highly publicised with regards to the 100, you know, the 1.3 million that was given to the counties. Was the girls' pathway given any of that or not?
Not directly, you know. Like I say, we have a separate funding stream from the ECB to support the recreational part of the game as well as the pathway. Like I say, it's significantly lower than Ali's, but that's just the way it is right now. You know, it's. I'm not the sort of person I don't sit here sort of wallowing my own self-pity. I actually want to go out and do something about it, you know. And I'm sure if I went and knocked on Sean's door and said, Sean, I need some more money, I'm sure he'll find a way. You know, he is supportive of women and girls. You've seen the progress already. So,
And again, this is, you know, this is my support of the ECB. You got to remember as well, at the same time, the ECB restructured women's cricket. So there was a regional game, you know, they developed the Rachel Hare Flint Trophy, they developed the regional academies and those types of things. So that's where a lot of the money and the investment went into to restructure women's and girls' cricket. And so then counties then became lower in the pecking order in terms of developing girls to go through to that point. So, you know, that's where they had to, you know, I don't know because I wasn't involved in the conversation, but they've got to decide where they're going to put their, you know, if you've got X amount of money, where are you going to put it? And it went into a sort of slightly higher level than counties for women and girls. It went into regional cricket and those regional hubs. And that was their decision and that's the way it went.
Well, yeah, and that's how it's going to be now, isn't it? With the Sparks, the Lightning, the Vipers, Stars, etc. Yeah, I suppose that is the new level of women's cricket. You've got the counties below them now. Mark, are you in favour of that or not? Actually, I'd like to know, because seeing as you work for a county women's and girls pathway group, are you in favour of that new system or not?
I don't want to be drawn on whether I'm in favour of it. I'll without sounding like a politician, I'll put it another way. I don't know what budget they get, but I know if I got a significantly larger budget than what we got now, I firmly believe this club could churn out more women, more you know, older age girls who will be ready for the next level, because we would be able to employ, you know, more coaches. We would be able to spend more than a couple of hours a week with them, you know, because that's kind of what we get at the moment, a couple of hours on a Monday evening with the older age groups. We do have an emerging player program. So, you know, a handful of them get a little, you know, they get an extra hour or so a week. But, you know, yeah, there are some benefits. I've seen some players come out of these regional programs and go on to the England Academy. You'd have to ask them whether the system's churning out enough, because obviously I'm at the other end of the talent funnel, so to speak.
That's fair enough, Mark. Apologies, that was a bit of a spur of the moment question. Sorry if that was putting you against the wall a bit there.
I'm calling you Jerry Paxman.
I was just interested, to be honest. That was just my mind wanting to know an answer. But talking of the cost of pathways, because Alistair, you alluded to this beforehand, and this is why I really wanted you to on the podcast today. As we all saw, I'm guessing a great deal of people saw the conversation in the BBC, on Twitter as well, with regards to the cost of the pathway system in this country. And Matt Prior, for those who don't know, I've actually got a tweet of his up in front of me now. And he said that for his two boys in the Sussex pathway, it was costing him £1,000 per season per child, which is an immense amount of money when you take into consideration the coaching, the training sessions, the playing kit. And actually, I wanted to ask this. When there is all this talk about the kits and the county kit, what does that actually consist of, for those who don't know?
I mean, I've been involved in two pathways, don't forget. So I was at Durham within the last 6-7 years, and then I've been here as well. So I can give you two insights. And then generally what the kit would consist of is kit manufacturer with a website provides a bundle of kit or kit that people have access to buy. And if you're within a county talent pathway, both instances at Leicester and at Durham, it was made clear to the parents and the players that there was no obligation to buy any kit. So that there's, you know, we make it clear that the kit is there for them if they'd like to buy it. And but there's no obligation, because in both instances, we didn't want kit to be a barrier to them playing and feeling comfortable. So we'd go play in whatever kit you want. The ECB then, a couple of years ago, made national competitions coloured clothing, which then becomes a challenge because everyone's club kits are white. So what we do at Leicester now, and I think happens quite a lot, some counties, I think, will have a bag of shirts that they dish out. What we do is we give every player, as part of their subs for being on a pathway, we give them all a playing shirt and jumper if they're playing in national competitions, and we give every one of them a cap. And that comes out of the money that we ask for the parents. So that's really what it is. The kit is there for people if they want to, in a form of a bundle, but there's no obligation in any way. And that's both counties I've been involved with it was the same.
Fair enough. I think that's the important point, actually. There's no obligation, so you don't have to. Again, removing that barrier of entry, that is very, very important in the game, as we've seen with this national discussion. And talking of that barrier of entry, in particular from a financial perspective, because that has been the real focal point of this entire dialogue. I know that at Leicestershire, you've actually got this fantastic fund, and this is what I wanted to talk to both of you about, the Future Foxes Fund. Because before we had this conversation, actually, Mark, you replied to our tweet on Twitter. I was completely unaware of this incredible initiative at the club. Could you just explain what that fund actually involves and how it helps those pathway cricketers in terms of that financial burden?
Yeah, it's something that myself, Ali, and various other staff members have been working on for quite a while. I think, Ali, I think you alluded to it a while earlier on in the call, that it's something that the ECB have told us we kind of need to enact. But this is kind of, their wording was a hardship fund, wasn't it, Ali?
So I suppose that the first thing to say on this is that, ever again, both counties I've been involved with, if there's been cases where people can't afford to pay fees, they've always waived fees. And every county I know of, that is the case. So if there's a kid that can't afford it, they waive the fees. We also ask for payment. We said there's options to pay in instalments. And again, that's two counties I've been involved in that have been like that. But it's never been made public. It's always fairly private because obviously it's quite a sensitive issue. Mm. When last summer the ECB asked us to start thinking about developing a hardship fund that was made more public, that was people could apply for as a grant and that we do it that way. So then we started to talk, myself, Mark, community department, and the people here at the club, to talk about what that would look like, how that would work. Things started to piece together. Around the same time, we'd started to think about budgeting for it, you know, ourselves as a club, so putting in a pot of money. Bear in mind, like I said, we already let people off, so there's already money goes out each year towards that sort of case. And then Sean Jarvis, the CEO, developed the foundation last summer, the Leicestershire County Cricket Club Foundation, which is the charitable arm of the club. And from the foundation, the takings or the proceeds of that go to a couple of different areas. One's to a charity, one's to community department, and one of them's to the academy. So we get, you know, the money raised each year from that foundation goes towards the academy. And because of the money we get from the ECB already, it was deemed that it wouldn't be appropriate to put that back into the pathway. It was more important to find a good use for it. So we decided to use that as part of the pot, or as the pot for the each year for the Future Fox Fund, in order for us to have a ring fence fund that is accessible for boys and girls in the pathway if they can't afford. And we set criteria, so it's to cover training costs, so fees for county age group fees, kit, travel, and those sorts of things, really. So that to make sure that if kids can't afford to be part of the girls under 13s, we make sure they can and they have the opportunity. That's the point. And then we've also, luckily, again, things pieced together, had some investment from private parties of the club, people who are supporters of the club and wanted to help out. So it's just come about at a very, it's come together for January 2022 to be launched as a thing, although it was in place. You know, we did this. And like I said, every county I know of does the same sort of thing.
The key thing that's the difference between it's always happened and it's happening today is actually we're letting the wider audience know, because we certainly want to make sure that we take down as many barriers of the game as possible. We don't want any child to think, oh, well, I can't possibly ever think about going onto a pathway because my parents won't be able to afford it. Now, we want to take those barriers down. And, you know, and then... I'm sure there'll be, if it hasn't already, there'll be communications coming out from the club. I know Ali's emailed every single player. I have as well, just to make sure that they know it exists. I'm sure the club will be pushing it through their marketing stream, social media, in days to come.
That's exactly what I was about to actually touch upon, you know, making it more wider known, I suppose, because if people need that support, it is difficult. And I understand there's a stigma surrounding it as well, which there shouldn't be, to be honest. If you need the help, it's there, but people need to know about it.
I think one of the challenges is it has to be widely known that we do it, but we have to sort of draw a line of accessibility towards people within the pathway, people in the county age group squads. So there are other funding streams for people who play club cricket and recreational cricket, but this is ours and our way of, as Mark said, so we don't want to run observation sessions on players who come along with dreams and then we provide them with a bill saying you've got to pay this and they can't afford to do it. So we're trying to take that away. So all of our communication will have it in. You'll have the details of how to apply for the grant and how to be part of it within our women and girls and boys pathway. So yeah, that's the plan. And we've already had one grant applied for, and so it's positive.
It most certainly is. And again, as Mark, you alluded to beforehand, to removing those barriers of entry, because it'd be absolutely horrible, wouldn't it? You know, if your financial situation prevented you from potentially achieving those dreams. You know, if there are people out there who couldn't afford it and maybe they had the talent to be a county cricketer or even a good level club cricketer, that opportunity being taken away, it'd be absolutely horrible. So when I found out about that fund, I must admit, very, very positive. You know, I think it's a fantastic thing. And you mentioned it's through the foundation arm of the club. Is there any way that, I don't know, fans or members can potentially contribute to that? Or is that just a private investment thing?
Well, the easiest way is for them to get on their bike next summer, because there'll be another Foxes bike ride, big Foxes bike ride. So that's the easiest way, is to take part in fundraising events and all that type of stuff. Yeah. But if people want to help by making donations to the directly to the Future Fox Fund, then they need to get in touch really and let us know, because it would be more than appreciated.
Definitely. I mean, details of the foundation on our website, leicestershirecc.co.uk. So yeah, if anybody's out there who just wants to donate anything, I sound like I'm on TV now on a Friday night. But even if it's £10, it really does make a difference, you know. And it all adds up, as they always say.
I think there's a Just Giving page as well for it. So I think there's that as well. I think, Aaron, the most important thing is, I think you should look out for the big bike ride next summer and you should get involved. I think that would be the best way.
I think that's a gimme in return for us doing this, Ali.
I would have thought so.
I'll tell you what, gents, give me the information, and also give me the link to the Just Giving page as well. We'll happily make a donation on behalf of the County Cricket Podcast, because it's a fantastic fund. We want to help out any way that we can. And again, for the Leicestershire fans, the Leicestershire members, the big bike ride, if you want to take part in that, you know, dust off the old spokes, get on your bike, I suppose, quite literally, for this summer. And also just donate if you can, because again, it's a fantastic initiative. It's one which I honestly do have some quite big beliefs about. It's one barrier of entry, which I don't want to see in this country. You know, we want as many people playing as possible, and it's an excellent scheme. So if you can give any money towards it, please do. We'll leave the link to that in the podcast description below. But gents, I mean, we're almost at the end for today's podcast. It's been a bumper episode. Apologies for keeping you for so long. But that tends to happen here on the County Cricket Podcast. Just one final profound question for today's podcast. And Mark, I'll start with you, with the women's and girls cricket ahead of 2022. What are your aspirations ahead of this year and this upcoming season?
Well, I'm setting the bar quite high. I've seen massive improvements. So I would expect our women to be challenging to win their T20 group. And same with the under-18s. The under-15s, they've all moved up, and a lot of the old ones have moved on. So they'll find that a challenging year. But I'm definitely looking for our under-18s and women challenge for some silverwares as such this year.
Yeah, exactly.
No pressure on them now.
Yeah, but you have to set those expectations. You know, we all want silverware. That is the the aim, I suppose, when it comes to competitive sporting environments, and obviously wishing your team all the best of luck heading into this season. Mark, fingers crossed, they can achieve those expectations. And Alistair, what about yourself? What about the academy boys?
Mine's simple, really. Is, you know, getting more opportunities for players in the second team that go on and then perform like Rohan did, to then be given chances in the first team. So trying to get them through that second team to first team as quick as we can, really. That's my aim every year. And I don't think that'll change. So hopefully we will do. And some people can follow in Rohan's footsteps.
Fingers crossed. Again, very exciting times at Leicestershire County Cricket Club. We'll have to wait and see. We have seen quite a few recently, though, haven't we? With the likes of Rehan, Nathan Bowley as well, Sam Bates, who's just signed a contract extension ahead of this season. Exciting times at Grace Road. And for any fans in the area, get yourself down to a game. I cannot recommend it enough. I'm not going to lie, when I've been to Grace Road, the last time I went, 2019, Colin Ackerman took 7 for 18. So, yeah, I probably need to come back and reverse that voodoo. But no, honestly, get yourself down. Really nice club, really well ran. And yeah, cannot recommend a trip down, or up in my case, to Grace Road. More than enough. But gents, I mean, that is pretty much it for today's episode of the podcast. Just before we say our final goodbyes, do you have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, websites, anything like that?
Not for me, Aaron. I'm not into that sort of stuff. You know that I'm into developing players. But I'd like to say thank you for having us on. It's lovely and it's nice to talk about what we do. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. Mark, what about yourself? Anything to plug or promote? We'll put the Twitter in there anyway. That's customary here on the podcast. But yeah. Anything aside from that?
Well, like I say, just get on the Leicestershire website, leicestershirecc.co.uk. If you're on social media and you fancy having a look at what our women and girls are doing, we do have our own handles on social media. My job's more of a management rather than coaching, as Ali's more interested in getting those players out. Whatever I can do to promote women and girls at this club, I'm going to continue to try and do.
Well, that is incredibly admirable, Mark. And all that I've got to say, gents, is thank you very much for taking the time. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've just had a look at the clock. Over an hour has ticked by, as usually happens on the podcast, because... yeah, your host is very much a cricket badger and can talk about the game for hours. So apologies for taking so much of your time, gents. But I hope you've enjoyed it. I certainly have. It's been an absolutely fascinating podcast. And I think you both know you're always welcome back here on the County Cricket Podcast in the future. It's been an absolute pleasure of mine. But that is pretty much it from us three here at the County Cricket Podcast for today's episode. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. As always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.